10 past 7, as I say, let's move forward. Yemen, of course, one of the poorest countries in the Middle East, has been locked in a really painful war that has been, I think, difficult for us to get our minds around, particularly insofar as it plays out with the Middle Eastern particular relationships and integration across various countries. Open Secrets, however, has revealed that South Africa and South African and global arms companies have actually profited from the ongoing suffering of the Yemeni people. He's part of the team that actually published a report called Profiting from Misery, South Africa's Complicity in War Crimes in Yemen. And he joins me this morning. Michael, welcome back to the show, researcher at Open Secrets. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Rufio, and to everybody listening. I'm well, thank you.
Help us understand what prompted this research or this investigation.
So, because the recognition, I think, that what is happening in Yemen is one of the worst humanitarian catastrophes facing the world right now. If you look at the numbers, they are, I mean, sobering and staggering at the same time. We're talking about 16 million people who don't have access to food and water due to this ongoing war. And extensive evidence that all of the many parties involved in that conflict are implicated in human rights violations, targeting civilians in contravention of international law. And we've seen many countries around the world start to grapple with the fact that the continued supply of weapons, particularly to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, who are two of the main external protagonists, is very problematic. And so what we wanted to find out is, first of all, where does South Africa fit in here? Are South African companies doing that? And the second part of the question that we asked was, are there subsidiaries of global arms companies who are struggling now to export from their home countries? And we looked at Germany in particular here, who have subsidiaries in South Africa who are still exporting to places like Saudi Arabia. And we found that the answer to both of those questions, unfortunately, was yes.
The trouble I have here, Michael, I mean, it is always a little disappointing to find out that South Africa may have a role in this, but in this very definition, an arms company is unfortunately going to find itself involved in sad situations. So, in particular, this joint venture between Rheinmetall and South African ammunitions company Denel, which comes up as Rheinmetall Denel Munitions, and it's mentioned quite regularly in your research, would unfortunately have to supply some form of war in order to remain profitable.
It's a really important point, and I think that we should remember throughout this conversation that there is a broader overarching discussion here about whether South Africa should have this type of industry and what it should look like. And I think that we should keep that in mind. However, the South African law on this is actually very clear. And following the transition to democracy, there was a commission of inquiry in South Africa, the Cameron Commission, that examined the way that the arms industry had operated in South Africa during apartheid. And what it found is that it had acted with zero constraint, that it had become complicit in supplying to the worst conflicts around the world. And so what that commission recommended was a complete reform of the legal framework in South Africa, and that was enacted. And so we now have an act which is enforced by a regulator called the National Conventional Arms Control Act. And what that law says is very clear, is that an arms company cannot export without a permit, and that when granting that permit, the regulator has to consider the extent of the risk that those arms are used to violate human rights and to exacerbate conflicts. And if that risk is too great, the regulator is required by law to consider refusing those permits. And what we have here is when we don't just have an export to a country that may or may not use those weapons poorly, but what we have is extensive public evidence over years that these parties in particular are repeatedly using them in violation of international law to target civilians. When the evidence mounts up like that, the South African regulator actually has no choice. It should be required by our law to prevent those exports leaving the country.
What governing body would we be able to turn to hold South Africa to account, given how many borders are crossed with this perspective? If the South African government itself has bowed to the interests of this industry, as you point out in your piece, then is it the International Criminal Court? Are we bound in that regard?
There is currently a complaint before the International Criminal Court by a Yemeni organization called Montana for Human Rights, which implicates the German company Rheinmetall and others in terms of supply to countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And so I think that there is an open question about whether those types of issues could be dealt with at the International Criminal Court. However, there's still a lot that can be done in South Africa. So as I said, I mentioned the NCACC and the fact that it is bound by South African law. And so I think the first step is that Parliament has a lot to do in this regard, because Parliament should be holding the NCACC to account. And also that South Africa itself is party to a range of human rights obligations and the International Arms Trade Treaty, which prohibits this type of activity. And the South African government has gone to the UN approximately 9 times in the last 4 or 5 years to bemoan what is happening in Yemen. And so they are intimately aware of the issues there. And so I think that there are still quite a few things that South African institutions need to do to kind of grapple with this and put an end to the exports while they still can, because the important thing to remember is that the war still rages. There is currently no end in sight to that conflict. And so we can still act now as a country to say, well, actually, we don't want to be involved in this type of complicity in such a terrible conflict.
The other conflict that we have here, of course, is that this doesn't seem to line up with our stated position on the Yemeni crisis. So it's a concern for me that, of course, Denal, as a joint venture participant in the Rheinmetall Denal Munitions, doesn't seem to stand on the same side of the Yemeni crisis as our stated position on the war as delivered by, for example, our international relations department.
Absolutely. It's such an important point. Our minister, Naledi Pandor, 2 years ago, called for all countries to stand in solidarity with the people of Yemen and have addressed the Security Council and urged parties to abide by international law and really express concern about civilians and what is happening there. And unfortunately, during the course of our investigation, we submitted extensive questions to the National Conventional Arms Control Committee. And we asked them this. We said, how does this square with South Africa's position? And most importantly, why have you decided to do this, given the extensive evidence of human rights violations and also the evidence, actually, that South African weapons have been found at the sites of specific attacks, including a 2018 attack on civilians at a fishing market in Hodeida? And their response really reveals a kind of woefully inadequate approach to regulation, because their response was, well, no one in the South African framework has specifically brought this to our attention. So DIRCO, for example, hasn't told us. And until they do, we won't pay attention to it. I mean, this is obviously inadequate, because as a regulator, you need to take into account public information. But also, again, it doesn't square with the fact that DIRCO have very publicly in the international realm been complaining about what's happening in Yemen and calling for a solution.
I don't think this is the last time we'll speak about this, Michael. Thank you very much for this excellent research and this insight. For those of us who are not familiar, of course, Michael Marchand, being a researcher at Open Secrets and one of the authors of this particular piece, Profiting from Misery, South Africa's Complicity in War Crimes. Please do check it out on Open Secrets. And there is also a version on Daily Maverick. Thank you so much, Michael.